Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Nico Iamaliava reportedly has a new home. Of all people, Colin Cowherd tweeted yesterday afternoon, quote, "I am told moments ago Nico Iamaliava is going to UCLA. Family still claims it's not," in all caps, "not about the bag emoji." It's not all about the money, but he used the little emoji with
the bag of money.
Yeah, with the bag of money. It's about the @Vol.
Presumably there are heavy gold coins in that bag.
That's what
we think.
Even
though we can't see them, it's a really small emoji. You can't look inside there to see. Actually, there could be sand in there for all we know.
There could be, yeah.
There could.
Colin Some rocks Cowherd, as well.
Colin Cow-
rocks, yeah.
Colin Cowherd is a hard name to say, and I've been saying Iamaliava for the past week. Colin Cowherd. Family still claims it's not about the money. It's about the Vols' offense. I was not told what the Bruins are paying. Now, there have been multiple reports since then that it's not a done deal with UCLA in Iamaliava. Chris Lowe of ESPN reported yesterday that UCLA is among the schools interested in Iamaliava, but not for nearly the money he was asking for from Tennessee, sources told ESPN. One source said UCLA was content to, quote unquote, sit tight while Iamaliava considered his options. So
we don't think it's official to this point with UCLA?
It sounds like it's unofficially official.
Okay, here's what I would interpret. This could be just one interpretation. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. Hey, I'm going to UCLA. Everybody, looking around. And he knows what UCLA is offering. Seems like the best deal now. Okay, I'm going to UCLA. It's not official yet. Going once. Anybody? Going twice. Going three. Hold on.
One and a quarter.
Can you top their offer? Anyone? You know, I don't know. Like, is somebody going to come in the last minute and say, all right, we'll pay X and we'll want, I don't know. But it's not about the money, according to them. Even though some people have pointed out, and this is what I want to get D-Maze's take on, because I think this is a central part. If you're not doing this in sheer enjoyment, right, if you're a Tennessee fan, you probably are enjoying the fact that he's struggling and not getting what he reportedly was demanding, right?
I'd like to apologize to the texter for mispronouncing Colin Cowherd, not Colin Cowherd, like he's a big baby. I'm sorry. Colin Cowherd. Nico Iamaliava.
The herd, yeah. But D-Mace, it's not about the money.
It's about the offense.
We want the offense to be more of something that he can grow and be more of a good NFL prospect. He wants to be drafted. I hear this theory, right? And a lot of people are scoffing at it and saying, well, this is just a cover-up for the fact that he's taking a pay cut to do this. And a lot of people think, well, that seems to be revisionist history. So I throw it to you. I do think from where I sit, it looks like a big risk to leave where you know the offense, you know the coach, you know you're the starter, to going to a completely different situation where you don't even get the spring practice. You have to jump in there in a couple of months, be the man. Is that going to be better than what you just left? Is the grass going to be greener?
It may not be greener.
Forget about the money.
Yeah,
right?
It may not be greener. It may be.
Which is also green.
Yeah. But what I'm starting to realize is this, because I'm not hearing either side really saying, you know, no, it was no. I think it was both the system and the potential, you know, offensive line, because of what he had went through during the season. And I think it was the money. Because ask the people that are in the know, that ask them the question, okay, say we said it was the money, but was it also he was concerned about the offense too? And the offensive line, considering he had two concussions or three concussions, I think it was two concussions and a helmet split. Could it, did that also take place? I would love to hear what they would say. Because to me, it's a bit of both. Because I was listening to Rex and Robbie, and they had Charles, what's Charles' last name?
Robinson.
Yeah, Charles Robinson on. And I think what I was gathering from Charles Robinson, I'm sure he did say this. I may not be saying it verbatim. But NFL teams are not too particular to that type of offense. It's hard to evaluate receivers, quarterbacks, running backs in that type of offense. Why? Because everything is so spread apart. I know the NFL is starting to do that, but still, the NFL is a compact sport. It's compacted. It's not as wide and taking advantage of the whole field like college does. The hashes are wider in college. That makes a difference. So if GMs and personnel are saying, man, it's hard to truly evaluate. I know what Hendon Hooker did. Even with that injury, I think it was going to be hard for teams to draft him in the top two or three because of the offense. Because how do you truly evaluate, a quarterback, a receiver, and a running back when there's so much space? Y'all are on the far end of the spread offense than any. There's no mixture in between. There's no... Yeah, we got a little bit of pro style. We got a little bit of this. No, they are straight college wide open. And I've said this for many years. Listen, it's not up to a college coach to develop a quarterback to go to the NFL. It's up to a college coach to win football games for his university to keep his job. So when you're looking at Nico Iamaliava, I hope I pronounced that right.
You nailed it.
That was really good. Yeah, better than I do most of the time.
It probably started off as, the system, can some things change? Can you bring these players in? It ultimately ended in, we want more money now. Maybe the money, and I don't know. I'm just asking, these are the questions that so don't come at, people don't come at me. These are the questions that, I'm asking. Like, was the preliminary talks in regards to the changing of the system a little bit in the players, and then the money came because they saw that, we can't operate. Or they probably was getting word too that, hey, NFL coaches and GMs don't think too kindly of this offense and how quarterbacks are developed within this offense, if they're developed at all.
The Athletic has a story about Nico Iamaliava. I've been doing so well. Nico Iamaliava's fit at UCLA. And I found this portion to be interesting. Quote, multiple stories over the past few days have referenced concerns expressed by Iamaliava's camp about Tennessee's offense, seeking assurances that the Volunteers would improve their offensive line and receiver group. Well, Iamaliava might be in for quite a wake-up call at UCLA. The Bruins' offense was a complete disaster last season. UCLA ranked 95th out of 134 FBS teams in yards per play and 126th in scoring. The Bruins averaged 3.1 yards per rush, which was 128th, and allowed 34 sacks, which was 107th.
I don't know what type of offense UCLA were running. Maybe they were running more of a pro-style offense.
Eric Bieniemy was the Bruins' offensive coordinator last season, if I recall correctly. So wouldn't he have been running a pro-style offense?
Yeah, so that's sort of a pro-style offense. And Nico goes there thinking maybe they get a more of a pro-style offense, because I forgot where I read this.
The Bruins' new offensive coordinator, by the way, spent last season as the co-OC and quarterbacks coach at Indiana.
And Indiana ran more of a pro style. If you watch them play, theirs were a little bit in the middle. They weren't completely wide open, but they wasn't, you know, completely a, you know, typical NFL. They were more so in the middle. Again, maybe he's not looking so much at the numbers that I can put up, but teams want to see, okay, we saw you put up the numbers somewhat at Tennessee. We know you can throw the football. Let's see, can you operate in a system that is totally opposite or more so of what we're looking at in regards to NFL offenses than what UT is running? Because I guarantee UT runs this offense, and it's a good offense, but it's a college offense. You can't run that offense in the pros the way they run it. You can't. You just can't do it. So he goes to UCLA, and now maybe they don't win a lot of games. But now the evaluation is better now that I see him more so in a pro-style offense. His numbers may turn out to be good. We never know.
This same article in The Athletic says, if Tennessee's quarterback search isn't fruitful, how viable can the offense be? The veer-and-shoot style offense that Heupel runs, which was popularized at college football's highest level by the mid-2010s Baylor teams, works best with quarterbacks who possess a big arm for downfield throws and some athleticism. Because of the wide splits the receivers line up in and the space that creates for running lanes, it's a user-friendly scheme for the quarterback. Iamaliava, while talented, was far from elite last year, totaling 8 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions in 8 games against bowl teams. Running back Dylan Sampson and the third best scoring defense in the SEC played key roles in powering Tennessee's run to the college football playoff.
Maybe again, maybe this is why a guy like Joe Milton, and I don't know if Joe Milton will end up being a starter or not, but maybe that's why when he goes to New England, it seems like he's picking things up a little bit better and he's playing a little bit better. And so much so that they get some worth for him. They're able to trade him for something. But in that offense where everything is just down the field, down the field, down the field, how can I evaluate a quarter? If I'm a quarterback and I want to make it to the NFL, I'm not going – and I hate to say this. I'm not going to UT. I'm just not under that offense. I am not going. I'm going to an offense that – we do that at times, but we do other things. That offense is – they are so far to the other side that it's you can't run this offense in the NFL, and you can't get a true – it's a good thing in a sense that Hendon Hooker had to sit for a year. It was almost probably like a recalibration of his brain at the quarterback position.
Well, I'll be the old guy to sort of give a different perspective on it along those lines, because I think – it used to be years and years ago. Think about in the 1970s and 80s when a lot of college offenses were running the option. We're talking about the top colleges, right? Oklahoma, Nebraska, Auburn, you know, when Bo Jackson was there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teams were running the wishbone, right? Yeah. Alabama ran the wishbone for a while. They might go the whole game, throw 3 passes. But Alabama had some quarterbacks during that time that were NFL quarterbacks. So the scouts.
And what were they doing in the NFL, though? Running a football.
They were, but it was totally different offense, right? It was still a pro offense you had to learn. Now, maybe there was less to learn. Maybe it was simpler. But a lot of those quarterbacks had to take some time on the bench. They weren't thrown in there like they are now. So I do think somewhere in here, pro scouts have to decipher when they're evaluating a quarterback. Hey, look, I know he runs a college offense, and we'll have to teach him the pro offense. This is all in the there's not a great system for developing quarterbacks.
Not.
But I think of Richard Todd and Jeff Rutledge, who coached in Nashville for a long time, played Alabama quarterbacks, where he ran the wishbone and then had to adapt. Troy Aikman went to Oklahoma for a year. Remember that?
Yeah.
He was running the wishbone.
But then he went to where?
UCLA.
UCLA, thank you. So
people, Nico came like, hey, yeah, exactly. Troy Aikman. Remember Troy Aikman?
Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
But again, I look at this, and I think this is what maybe his camp did. Because before you start to tear this young man down, or if before you start to tear the university down, think about, you know, from the player standpoint, if his goal is to make it to the NFL, and we're running this Baylor type of offense. Tell me how many Baylor quarterbacks outside of RG3, because I think RG3 was there during that whole, you know, at least for 3 or 4 years, but he had that one phenomenal year and he won a Heisman. Besides that, how many quarterbacks have, like, out of Baylor have made it in the NFL? You know, you know, this wide open off. You go back to the run and shoot. I know the run and shoot survived for a little bit, but eventually the demise of the run and shoot was you couldn't score. It was hard for you to score in the red zone because now the field is condensed, and now I know how to defend you better. You make from the 20 to the 20, ask the Houston Oilers. From the 20 to the 20, they'll beat you up all day, every day with the pass.
Sure.
But then once they get in, now it gets harder. So eventually, that type of offense dies, and a new version of it is being built, or has been built. But yet, and still, you can't. So the NFL knows it can't go so far to the left like UT is at, as far as their system, or the right, whichever way you want to say it, where UT is at, because they're not running that type of. The NFL is not conducive to that type of system, and it's hard to evaluate a quarterback. That's why for Hendon Hooker, it probably was the best thing for him. In a sense, from a learning standpoint, that you had to sit a year because if you're healthy, they're throwing you in there right away. And you go, ask Marcus Mariota. Prime example, ask Marcus Mariota. It took him a minute to adapt to the system, but yet and still, he had that 1 year. And after that, they were like, we got to make some changes now.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on UCLA reportedly being the destination for Nico Iamaleava. 615-737-1025. The NFL draft, first round, thankfully, 1 week away, 1 week from today. And you don't want to miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on the Game Nashville Sports Network. We will be broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Madison on April 24th and on Friday, April 25th, live from Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar in East Nashville. On Thursday, it'll be Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, Chris Sanders, and Trevor Maddich. And I believe on Friday, it will be Chase McCabe, Joe Rexroad, and Chris Sanders. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. each day, presented by Hardee's, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Twin Peaks, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Shane Co., and Professional Home Improvements.
The talk of college football for the last week has probably been Nico Iamaleava and where he's going. What's the latest you're hearing about that and where he could end up?
Well, there's no finite destination yet for Nico, Ryan. But what has emerged today is that there's mutual interest between Nico's camp and UCLA. UCLA was, from the start of this, the most logical ending point for Nico Iamaleava. And the sides are in talks right now. You know, from talking to different sources, I've been cautioned that there's a process that would have to play out here. We've seen enough twists and turns in the Nico saga where we don't want to get premature on anything. But considering he's from Los Angeles, his brother had been committed there. He's actually from Long Beach. I don't want to offend anyone in L.A. His brother Madden had been committed there before flipping to Arkansas. There's history with the family at UCLA. And for Coach Deshaun Foster, coming off a 5-7 debut season, a 3-6 record in the Big Ten, he would be a marquee recruit. Nico Iamaleava obviously led Tennessee to the college football playoff last year. He's got a 5-star pedigree. He's from right around the corner, so that it would make sense for both sides to give Nico a reboot there and give UCLA's program an adrenaline jolt with a player from its backyard.
Could be a huge.
That was Pete Thamel of ESPN talking about Nico Iamaleava and UCLA.
Can I ask a quick question about the narrative that I keep hearing with this? There's a relationship there with the brother who flipped at the last minute and didn't go to UCLA. Is that a great relationship?
That's not a good relationship. Like, yeah, there is a relationship there.
Yeah, there's a relationship.
But
yeah,
not a good one.
He spurned us at the last minute.
Speaking of problematic.
He's not here.
Speaking of problematic relationships.
It'd be like, oh, come play with your brother. Oh, no, he didn't go here. He went to Oklahoma.
They make it seem like a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, there's a relationship there. Yeah, a relationship. A bad one.
Speaking of problematic relationships, Aaron Rodgers is on the Pat McAfee show right now. And I want to read his quote, among others, about his future in the NFL. Quote, "I'm open to anything and attached to nothing."
Namaste. Namaste.
The philosopher.
I think that was my AOL.
I love Aaron Rodgers, man. Y'all may hate him, but I love him.
I think that was my AOL instant messenger away message in like 2001.
Hey, you I love Aaron Rodgers, man. Y'all may think, man, listen, namaste, my brother. Namaste.
Namaste away.
Indeed.
Those are enlightening words, man. I'm open to everything and attached to nothing.
Deep.
Yeah, just let it breathe.
Just let it breathe. I'm going to start using that one. Man. So, Derek, what do you want to do? Listen, I'm open to anything but attached to nothing.
Sorry. That's a great reply on our text chain. But what do you guys want to talk about on the show today? I'm open to anything. I'm attached to nothing. Are you opening to talk tiddlywinks?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm open to anything, man.
But I'm not attached to it. I can change it in 5 minutes if I want to.
I have the sneaking suspicion that if I were to say that to my wife at some point, she would say, you can sleep in Arlo's bed tonight.
I'm committed to you, but I'm not attached to you. Sleep in Arlo's room tonight. Namaste.
Namaste in my bed.
At least it's a twin bed now. He's not in his, you know, his convertible crib bed or whatever the hell it was. Anyway.
Oh, man.
So Nico Iamaliava and UCLA. Of course, there's an opening at quarterback in Knoxville. That same Athletic article I referenced before writes this, quote, "The Vol search for a quarterback is fully underway, and there's at least one indication of the caliber of quarterback they're shooting for. Tennessee reached out to the representatives of TCU starting quarterback Josh Hoover, a source briefed on the discussions confirmed to The Athletic. Hoover, a rising junior, is one of the top returning passers in the country. He ranked in the top 20 in the FBS last season in passing yards, yards per attempt, completion percentage, and touchdown passes. Hoover rebuffed those overtures." You never want to be rebuffed. "Hoover rebuffed those overtures and is locked in with the Horned Frogs for 2025, the source said.
Horned Frogs.
Okay. Eipel made clear that Tennessee would be shopping for a quarterback in the portal because they only have two scholarship players at the position, redshirt freshman Jake Merklinger and true freshman George McIntyre. The fact that Tennessee's search included Hoover suggests that the Vols will try to pluck an established, experienced quarterback from elsewhere if they can. It's the circle of life.
Willie. Okay.
Can we do that role play? Yeah, we're
about to
role play
something right quick everyone.
It's a
because
nice
it's that time. It's that time.
The words used in there
rebuffed.
Were.
Rebuffed the overtures.
The overtures. So this young man was not in the portal, correct? Mm-hmm.
The story says that Tennessee reached out to the representatives of TCU starting quarterback Josh Hoover.
So we have reached out.
Yes.
What was the last sentence of there? Tennessee will continue to.
The fact that Tennessee's search included Hoover suggests that the Vols will try to pluck an established, experienced quarterback from elsewhere if it can.
So we have plucked and reach out.
Yeah.
So wouldn't these be words that would. These are not quarterbacks in the portal, correct?
No. Correct.
The word tamper.
Yeah. I thought tamper. That would be
that's
tamper.
The real power T.
Yeah.
Not Tennessee.
Tamper.
The word tamper.
So how would this conversation. Okay. Because this is a. This is what college football has become because of this portal stuff and how it's designed.
And tampering goes on all the time.
Exactly.
It's going on.
But
it's messed up.
You're going to see or you're going to start to hear more about people calling representatives of other starting quarterbacks and trying to get them to flip and come to them and play for them that season or the next following season.
Let me add one piece of context. According to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, which is the local paper for TCU, the reporter, Steven Johnson, says, quote, "Tennessee offered Hoover roughly $1 million more than he currently makes at TCU, but Hoover quickly turned down the Vols to remain at TCU."
Yeah,
every head coach right now is on the phone with their quarterbacks, every head coach out there is on the phone with their quarterback.
Clark Lee has absolutely called Diego Pavia.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
Just to make sure.
And Willie.
I'm sure every quarterback has called yes. their starter with, yes. because there is this out there. I remember a couple years ago, even when this was at the beginning stages, Mac Jones commending Drake May, and he made it public. He said, they have been calling him, but he chose to stay, and I admire that. I want to give this kid a lot of credit.
He rebuffed them.
There was a lot of rebuffing.
Yes.
Just like in The Godfather 2. We had a lot of buffers between the Corleone family and the Hitmen.
There was
right?
a major rebuffage going on.
right.
So
there's like, you were cool, right?
Yeah, we're cool. So
you're not going anywhere, right? You're our guy, right?
All over the court. And so at University of Willie. And right. and you know, I'm the quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it the University of Willie or yeah. Willie University?
We call it Willie yeah. University or the University of Willie. Willie University.
The Fighting Williams.
And I'm over here in Mason University. And
I think you're more of a Mason State University.
Well, I could be. Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm going to University of Willie, or Willie University. Yeah. Okay. And I'm in my dorm room just chilling. And Coach Willie and I have already talked. But Coach Willie feel he know he got to call me again.
Right, because I know that the minute the Nico story hits, Nico is leaving Tennessee. I know Tennessee has been on the phone saying, okay, guys, we made our move. We made our bet. Nico's gone. We only have two scholarship quarterbacks. Get on the horn. Well,
get on
Coach,
home
wait a minute.
Willie University.
The portal just opened. Here are the only names in the portal. Don't worry about who's in the portal. Start calling around. Let's call the agents.
Here's the blacklist right here.
Let's call the agents. Here are your burner phones.
Exactly.
Get on the horn. I'm serious. This is how it works.
So he calls the University.
Hey, the portal's open until, what's the day? What's the last day of the portal? It's a 10-day
Wednesday.
Window.
Next Wednesday, right?
So Thursday? These guys aren't in the portal now, but we're calling back channels. Mm-hmm. We're calling agents. We're calling other. If you were to go into the portal.
April 25th, so a week from tomorrow.
Yeah. So, hey, so-and-so, if you were to go into the portal, just know that Tennessee would be very open. I'm sure some form of that took place with the TCU guy, if that's true, right? Okay, so now let's get back to the Willie University, the Fighting Williams.
And I'm the quarterback for the Fighting Williams.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm playing Fortnite or something in my room right now.
All right, you're playing Fortnite. Yeah. We just got done with spring practice, and we had a meeting last week. Derek, you're our man. You had a great spring. You've been here for 2 or 3 years. I know you've been waiting your turn. You're on the rise. You've done a great job for our program. You're our starting quarterback. So now I'm calling you playing Fortnite. Derek.
This is Coach, man. God.
Derek, this is Coach Willie.
Hey, Coach, what's going on?
Hey,
man.
Just wanted to double check.
Give me a piece of that pizza, man. Yes, Coach?
You're happy here, right, at Willie U?
Yeah, Coach.
Everything good?
Everything, you know, everything's good. I mean, Coach.
Got that nice dorm room that we talked about.
Great. Everything's great.
Did you talk to Larry about the summer accommodations?
Yeah, he got that. He got
training
that
table. You set up a training table?
He got that taken care of. Hey, Coach, this is let me call you right back. This is my mom. Let me call you right back.
Get back to me. Okay Derek. I'll talk to you later. Cool.
Okay. Do, 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 do. Hey, Coach, what's going on?
Hey, Derek, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. I was just calling you back, Coach. Yeah. I just had to have a discussion with my parents. What were you saying, Coach?
I just wanted to make sure everything's cool for next year, right? We're done with spring practice. I'll see you for the summer workouts. They start in 3 weeks. Take some time off, you know, have some family time.
Yeah, but my family and I, we are going on vacation. In a couple weeks. But, Coach, I think you'll have to talk to my representatives now.
What?
You're going to have to talk to my representatives, Coach.
Your representatives?
Yes.
What? Why?
There's no why.
What?
You know why.
What just happened?
And that, I'm telling you,
check
people.
Check Twitter.
Exactly.
Derek Mason has entered the portal. What?
I just talked to him.
I just talked to him.
I don't know, no contact.
But that is what I'm telling you. That is what's going to, if it isn't happening already, it's going to start happening. That especially once you get down to that last portal, chance that you can get into the portal to go to another school. because somebody's going to leave a university that they didn't expect to leave. Nico leaves. Now all of a sudden, has been reported, being reported that UT is hitting the back channels. There's going to be more back channel, you know, calling than anything, especially this last period where you can transfer. Because I think this is it. Like, if you get into the portal and then you sign with that's crazy that I'm saying you sign with another school. And I don't mean signing a letter of intent. I mean signing a contract to get paid. That's crazy that we went from signing a letter of intent to signing,
it's like, Derek, we just talked. I've known you since you were 15. I've been recruiting you since you were a sophomore. Like, this could happen.
New phone, who dis?
Yeah.
Right. You'll have to talk to my representative.
You have to talk to my representative.
This was the sad part about the Nico thing, right? He never had the final conversation with Josh Heupel.
Exactly.
And said, Coach, I've decided to leave.
But quickly, before we go to break.
He just didn't show up, and then he was gone. I guess he told the offensive coordinator reportedly. That's how they found out.
And I understand. But that, to me, we can talk about that off there. But here's quickly. I'm not sure that I can play. I could have played in today's college football. For this reason, because I was still allowed to be a kid in college. I didn't have to worry about I had my worries, little things, but I didn't have to worry about whether, you know, an agency was trying to get me moved or something like that. Even though, you know, I can say I'm not leaving, yeah, but that's too much pressure to put on a 17, 18, 19-year-old. Like, they got to deal with, they're dealing with professional problems all while trying to be a teenager or a kid or a teenager. You're trying to make professional decisions while still trying to be a college student, a 17-year-old teenager, 18, 19. But you got to make, now these decisions need to be made. And a lot of times, it's not you that's making the decision for you. So, again, the money would have been great, but I'm not sure looking back on it now as a 51-year-old adult, and, you know, shoot, I get stressed out sometimes with the problems that I have. I don't know how, because there's so much weight on your shoulders. It's not just going to school. It's not just making a team. But in some cases, not all, some, right out the bat, right out the womb, it seems like, you are the provider and the breadwinner. And that is unfair to these kids.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on all of that, plus what one ex-prominent college football coach said about the situation at Tennessee. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Here's the reality is Tennessee is screwed. They got a problem. You lose a potential high draft pick. You have the backup quarterback left last year, and now you have a redshirt freshman that threw 9 passes and a freshman. You have zero experience. And the portal opens as we speak. They are going to have to go get one. So I don't know what the answer is. There are some interesting answers out there, but this, it happened. And think about this. He threw for 200 yards in 8 games or less. 200 yards. He had one 300-yard game, and he threw for 4 yards against Ohio State in the playoffs. So he had a good year, first year starting quarterback. But I, as a guy that's been involved almost 40 years in this game, I can't believe this happened.
Do you hear that, Tennessee? You're screwed, says Urban Meyer on whatever podcast he's on. Everybody has a podcast these days.
Now, do you think Urban Meyer, if in those shoes, would not find a way to pry or pluck, as you pluck a quarterback?
Urban Meyer, tamper, of course.
Isn't that what Urban Meyer was doing at that bar with that woman that one time? Plucking?
That would be one word to describe it.
I guess so.
But it is true, what would you have a coach do, right? Josh Heupel knows that if Josh Heupel goes in and says, hey, this is the best quarterback we can find in the portal, he's probably not going to play for us this year. We just needed numbers there, and we're going to go with redshirt freshman whatever that kid's name is that played about four plays last year, right? Mm-hmm. That would be the noble thing to do. But he knows if they struggle, he's going to take a lot of heat. And so, just like every coach who's competitive, he's gonna say, this is the Wild West. You're not supposed to tamper. I wouldn't like it. Like, would Josh Heupel like it if the shoe were on the other foot and people were wearing out his quarterbacks behind the scenes? May have already happened. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like that, but he knows this is kind of how they roll. This is how they choose to roll. This is the SEC. So you do what you have to do. I'm sure they're calling all around the country.
Daryl is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Daryl, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm going to preface this with, I have never watched a playoff game because I take no pleasure in watching the same 6 to 8 teams vie for the national championship every year. I mean, what do I care about Ohio State? I didn't go to Ohio State. The school I went to is lucky to win 5 games in a year. I'm going to pick up what Derek was talking about. Is this what we want for teenagers? How many professional athletes, I mean, there have been probably hundreds of them who have squandered millions of dollars, ended up filing bankruptcy, ruined their lives, became drug addicts or whatever, because they were not equipped to handle the resources that care, to handle the money that came into their pockets with all these leeches around them. How do we possibly expect that an 18, 19, or 20-year-old kid is going to be able to handle that? A lot of these kids don't even come from a two-parent home. They don't have financial advisors. They're making these decisions in a vacuum. They are looking for immediate gratification. This is disastrous. I'm getting a little bit of a pleasure that this is happening to Tennessee, not because I have anything against Tennessee, but, you know, they're one of the bigger programs, and they're kind of being hoisted on their own petard. Well, you know, now you know how Western Carolina feels, or, you know, whatever small school you can think of. So I hate the portal. I think it's destroying college athletics. The ridiculous number of bowl games, and I know I'm going to sound like a grumpy old man because I am 64, but I used to be a huge college football fan when I was younger. I couldn't care less about it now. It's the same teams every year outside of maybe one or two that come through once in a while, but they end up getting crushed, you know, in a playoff game. I take no pleasure in watching a bunch of self-impressed 18, 19, 20-year-old kids moving from school to school, moving for the best deal. And the bigger schools, you know, Ohio State and Alabama can laugh all the way to the bank. But most college football, of college football is being ruined by this. And nobody cares. And I hate it.
Thank you for the call, Daryl.
Thank you, Daryl. Listen, there's going to be collateral damage around the board because of, you know, what has happened over the last 2 years, 2 or 3 years since NIL has sort of gotten into the bloodstream of college sports. But let's make no mistake, it's the arrogance of the NCAA, where this should have been handled long ago. You knew it was coming down the pike. Maybe you thought, you know, it's not going to come when as long as I'm heading things up. But the joke's on you. Now it's here. Now you have no guidelines or no rails. Well you do, but again, they are so loose that you might as well not even have them. They're just there just to be there, I believe. But because no one wanted to, do the things necessary and make the decisions necessary that would help the whole, not just the ADs or the universities or the presidents, the whole, meaning the student athlete, then this is the problem that we're in now. It's a problem. It truly is. And I don't know, how do you resolve this issue? How do you fix this problem? Because the courts already told you, nah, I'm favoring the kids on this one. So I do, that's the part I do hate or miss, the sort of innocence, in a sense, from the players. There was never any innocence from anyone above them, but from the players, there was this sense of, yes, some people was getting to a little scratch underneath the table. We knew that was happening. But the way it's happening now, how it's happening, it has forced these kids, not all of them, but even the ones that are not 4 and 5 star, because they think I play well, I should be able to get some money somewhere else. But it has put the college system in a place where I don't think there's any going back. And I'm not going to sit here and blame these kids for a system that was created by grown-ups, or a system that was created by grown-ups because grown-ups didn't want to take care of the problem when they had an opportunity to. The arrogance of them, it was lost to the persistence and the resilience of the youth. It took someone to sue college basketball. It was the old Bannis. He was a little older then, but that lawsuit had started long ago, and it finally was settled, and he won, which led us into what we're in now in regards to NIL.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on that on our phone and text lines, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. But coming up next, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us. We'll pick up where we left off earlier with the Nashville Predators. Also look ahead to the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.